we love the Song Dynasty, exploring the history and charm of one of China's most fascinating dynasties. Episode 16, Song Dynasty Flower Power. In this edition, we're taking a stroll through a Song Dynasty flower garden and discovering how flowers played such an important role in their daily lives. I'm Bob Jones, and in this Why We Love the Song Dynasty podcast, I'm throwing the spotlight on what was to become one of China's most iconic dynasties in the country's long and colourful history. When you are poor, you are happy to have the basics. When you become more prosperous, you begin to gather things that are, strictly speaking, not essential, but you just like to have them about you. But then you need to justify having them in some way. You collect, you show off, you decorate. Some people call this thingology. In this podcast, we're going to look at one of the most important things in Song society. Flowers. Flowers weren't just a symbol of prosperity in the Song dynasty, but part of the expansion of knowledge and the development of science that took place at the time. Along with the reformation in agricultural techniques and the introduction of a second sowing of crops to increase the yield, there was also experimentation in crop breeding to create better quality grains, vegetables, fruits, and therefore also flowers. Through increased trade, there was a high demand for commodities which could be sent along the Silk Road and other routes, such as obviously silk, but also sugarcane, tea, and mulberry. The varieties of vegetables increased. Contemporary accounts talking of up to 14 different types of oranges and 32 varieties of lychees, 10 different sorts of persimmons. We know the Song loved cataloguing everything, and flowers were no different. They also liked observing things and making things better. All these factors went hand in hand. And again, if it was anything to do with the Song, it took on artistic proportions and involved performance. Observe a flower. Change the way it's grown. Understand the changes. Are they good or bad? Is the result beautiful or ugly? Do the changes improve our lives or not? And on and on and on. We're maybe discussing flowers, their buds and protective leaves here, but keep in mind that we are talking about something that was happening across Song society, in its administration, science and technology, the arts, in agriculture and trade. But where flowers score over the other parts of the economy was they could also be associated with passion. In one courtly poem, Emperor Huizong of Song wrote of gathering 10 blooms and their protective leaves together, the calyx. Hold the 10 flower calyx to persuade female court attendants to drink more. And in the dark night, the drunken attendant's face turns red in the light of candles. Best draw a veil over those proceedings. The appreciation of flowers permeated every level of society and into every aspect of life. Royal families, aristocrats, or just ordinary people loved flowers. Not just growing them, but also selling them, appreciating them, praising them in art and poetry, or delivering them to others to express friendship or to commemorate special occasions. Flower lovers' parties were a big thing. People drank wine and composed poems to flowers while they were drinking. This, in turn, prompted the development of appropriate utensils, such as specially decorated cups and bowls. Everything had to be just right. Enormous amounts of money were spent on buying flowers and putting on a show when you had them. One particular flower show is described by the writer Zhou Mi of the Southern Song and tells of a luxurious party thrown by a man called Zhang Gongfu. All the guests came to sit in the hall, waiting there without anything happening. Later, the master asked his servant, "Are the flowers fragrant now?" The servant answered, "Yes." His master then ordered him to open a curtain, and a stunning fragrance emerged, filling the whole room with the smell of flowers. A group of female entertainers appeared with delicious dishes and beautiful music. In addition, there were 10 famous entertainers, all wearing white clothes. Some were also wearing jewelry and clothes with peony patterns. One wore a red camellia on her head. The master and guests drank, while the entertainers sang and played musical instruments. After they finished, they withdrew. Then the curtain was closed, and the guests chatted with each other. After a while, the fragrance emerges again as the curtain is opened once more. Another 10 female entertainers appeared, with white flowers on their heads and purple clothes, or purple flowers and yellow clothes, or yellow flowers and red clothes. Another 10 rounds of wines. Before each round, the master proposed a toast, and the guests returned the toast. After each round of wine, new entertainers came in with new clothes and flowers. The guests all talk about peonies. Altogether, the total number of guests, entertainers and musicians must have added up to several hundred. At the end, all the entertainers and musicians queued up to see the guests off, almost like a curtain call. The lights, the amazing fragrance, the music and performances made the guests feel as though they were visiting a fairyland. The writer Zhou Mi actually recorded the event with disdain, but as we've learned, the Song loved elegance and vulgarity in equal measures. Let's have a quick ramble through the Song Dynasty flower garden, shall we? Peony cultivation predates the Song Dynasty. It started with the Tang, when the flower was cultivated in the imperial gardens and gradually spread across the country. Since then, peonies have appeared repeatedly in Chinese poetry, paintings, and on embroidery, representing richness and nobility, femininity and birth. The plum blossom is a symbol of winter. During the Song Dynasty also, you'll find just as many paintings, poems and drinking bowls celebrating the beauty and delicacy of plum blossom. The chrysanthemum also represents nobility and elegance. They are also thought to attract good luck to the home and represent a life of ease. They also represented longevity. Nowadays, chrysanthemums are more associated with funerals, so it's best not to give them as gifts. The love of and fascination with chrysanthemum by Song people can be seen at the beginning of the Chrysanthemum Treatise, written by the writer Fang Chengda of the Southern Song Dynasty. Recluses who live in the forest prefer to consider the chrysanthemum as a gentleman because it still remains prosperous regardless of cold frosts in such a season with everything withered, which shall be the character of recluses. Though living in the lonely and cold environment, it can still remain fragrant, thus being appreciated. According to the Shun Nong classic of Materia Medica, chrysanthemum is the best medicine for cultivation of temperament, which can prolong life. People who live in Nanyang who drink the water where the chrysanthemum lives can live to be 100 years old. The person who protects the country and benefits the people is just like the chrysanthemum. The chrysanthemum is considered as a gentleman also because of its fragrance. But it wasn't all to do with the fragrance of the flower. Sunflowers were popular too as adornments. In the morning, you can collect several sunflowers with dewdrops remained to decorate the golden cup. When decorating it on the head, you look like a goddess, wrote one writer at the time. The Narcissus was seen to be like wine cups or decanters, and so wine cups and decanters were designed to look like Narcissus. The lotus was popular in Song poetry. It's one of the most significant flowers in Chinese culture. It symbolizes the holy seat of Buddha. Because the flower rises from the mud and blooms in exquisite beauty, it symbolizes perfection and purity of both the heart and mind. It also represents long life and honor. The lotus is mentioned in the preface of a poem written by our Song poet Su Shi, called Drinking Alone on Rainy Days. I was demoted to Hainan, so I have to sell almost all wine cups for food and clothes. The only one left is the one lotus leaf-shaped cup, and such delicate modeling can please me when I appreciate it alone. Peach is regarded as the most favorable present in a birthday feast. Poet Chao Buzhi of the Northern Song wrote five poems for his wife, in which he describes a feast set at the South Garden where the poet lived. He writes of the buds of peach trees and apricot trees being visible, of drinking wine while appreciating them held in golden wine vessels in the shape of peach buds. How many paintings, poems, works of calligraphy, drinking vessels, and items of crockery have been inspired by these blooms? It would be impossible to count them all. But I am sure that someone in the Song Dynasty, with a passion for cataloguing, would have tried. Special thanks go out to San Lien Zhongdu for their help in creating the content for this show. This is Bob Jones. Thanks for listening. Join me again next time. This has been a China Plus podcast. If you like the show, please give us a rating and be sure to subscribe wherever you listen. If you've got any questions or feedback, please feel free to contact us via email at podcast@cri.com.cn. Or find us on Twitter, China Plus Pods.